All right, welcome back. Part two, as we move forward from this writing exercise, it was exciting for me to hear you share in your groups. And what naturally comes out of what you're writing is more than what you'd think. When I say the word Kohl's, no one was like, I'm going to find my why here. And yet, when we said fast food, we had Kimberly coming out with her why. Please share with what you just said about fast food.
Instantly, I became fast food being unhealthy and expensive, and I dealt with my weight my whole life, and so I kind of focused around talking about how to help people why you don't eat fast food, and why you can actually cook a meal faster than driving to.
Amen, sister. I love that. I am with you. Okay, so and that this is similar to what I heard from all of your groups. It's in whatever category it brought up. Rachel said strong emotion on Kohl's. So let's share your strong emotion on Kohl's.
My strong emotion on Kohl's has become a special place that I take my daughter to go shopping. She loves going there. And so I am not a huge shopper, but I do love Kohl's because, you know, like, hello, they have great deals and cute stuff. But it's just become a place like that we go together, and she's like my little shopping buddy, and she loves the carts that they have, and she loves going in the dressing room with me to try on clothes and tells me if things look pretty or if they fit right on me. So yeah, the strong emotions of cold because of me and my daughter going there.
So I do this exercise at any writing workshop, and I encourage you again to, you can do this on your own. You could call a friend and say, give me two words. Just go and do it. This is write short, go. This is a fabulous technique for moving. And most people that I talk to who have attended workshops that I've done say if they do this, they don't have writer's block. We'll get to that in a minute. But this is the write short, go. Now we're going to do write long, go. Now write long, go is actually pronounced like this. Write long, go. write short, go, and write long, go. Really long. So we can't do write long, go today, obviously. But I'm going to talk to you a little bit about what that looks like. Write long, go is you facing the page, or the computer screen, as it were. It forces you to be disciplined. Write short, go is just you in a moment, quick, just do something real fast. You could do it in, you know, what, 5 minutes or less. You can do it quickly. But write long, go is facing that page, being self-disciplined, and getting accountable. And this is where the Donald Murray quotes comes in on finding those steps, and that it is a discipline, that it is steps, that it is a process. And the write short, go will keep you going. But write long, go will make it sustainable, and will actually is where you're going to find improvement, self-improvement. If you enter in and really embrace becoming a writer and writing your thoughts out and sharing them, this is a self-inflicted self-improvement class, basically, that you're going to put yourself in if you embrace the process. If you don't embrace the process and you stay about a quarter inch deep, blah, 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 no one's going to read your stuff. And if they do and say, oh, I read your stuff, they're like, yeah, not really, because you're not that interesting, because you didn't go deeper. No one cares. We want to hear your heart. We want to hear you. I mean, I heard your heart just you two talking right now. That was awesome. That's what I want. This is what people want to read. And so this will make you get accountable. So write long, go, can't do it right now. You're going to have to do this on your own. This goes back to the previous slide where I talked about making it a priority. You brushed your teeth because you value them. Do you value writing? Well, then you're going to do it. You're going to make time to do it. An aspect of when is what I call C and B. In a C and B moment, you are going to truly see the moment. See it. Not seize the day, seize the moment. It is actually seeing the moment. See a moment. And you're going to really be in that moment. Most of us at any given time only are just physically here. We are emotionally, mentally somewhere next. I've got my to-do list. I need to get on my maps. I need to get the groceries. I need to get the kid. I need to get the husband. I need to do bada bada bada. Your brain is elsewhere, right? What we're going to work on as writers is the intentionality of that, being in, truly in the moment. And in order to do that, you need to see the moment that you're in. Okay? You need to really embrace where you're at in this moment. And so I'm going to walk you through an exercise on how to see and be in that moment. But I'm going to just lay it out there that this is an aspect of writing that is you need to be intentional about. You need to really get that about yourself. Some of us are naturally better at others and being in the moment, really being present. Others of us have our brains spinning, and we're spinning off into 100 different directions, and it's more challenging for us because our society is basically focused on short little snippets, for example. So what do you do, as the one chicken says to the other? I'm a writer, the other guy says. Novels? No, mostly tweets. I hope to write the great American tweet. So originally tweets were 140 characters or less. They've actually opened that up. You can write more. But Facebook actually used to be limited as well. I remember the day they opened that up, I'm like, oh, this is going to get real. And it did. So we are conditioned for things just to come at us very quickly, 30 seconds, 10 seconds or less. If you want to do any advertising, you'll learn that real quick. Don't make anything longer than 10, maybe 15 seconds. People don't have the mind for it or the attention span for it. So we are going to be intentional about seeing the moment and being in that moment. So a way to help us to do that is to understand the where of writing. And we're going to do a kind of a macro and a micro view of where, and then I'm going to give you some time to be in the moment. So first off, in terms of you as a writer, you need to have a discipline and an approach to that. And so we need to have a routine established. Like I said, back to the toothbrushing example, you brush your teeth because your toothbrush is available to you in the morning. You're not running around the house looking, where did I put my toothbrush? I hope. If you're in that mode, it's a whole other class for you. Where's my toothbrush? Where's my toothpaste? It's probably like the one thing in your house you can consistently find every day is just right there. Thank the Lord, because keys, who knows, right? So make it easy on yourself. Just like toothbrush and toothpaste, you have a spot. Make that spot easy for yourself with the supplies that you need and the comfort that you need, so that you want to go back and be in that routine and write there. Don't make it difficult on yourself. Don't set it up during the time mom at home and the kids are up and crazy and run around. Do it when they're at nap time, or do it when they're 25. So,
or at 5 a.m.
Let's get real, right? Okay, so you're going to have your routine set up. And you're going to then, in addition to that, you're going to have places of inspiration, which means you're going to get out. You're going to take the road less traveled. You're going to literally get lost. I was talking to somebody who visited our church and stayed, which was awesome. But she came to our church for the first time, and I said, oh, how'd you hear about us? She said, I found you on Google. I just Googled churches in La Mirada. That's awesome. She goes, here's the deal. I live around the corner. She said she never knew we existed. She lives around the corner. Yeah. And so what happens is when she leaves her home, she drives out that way. She never drives down the street. She literally just goes to work that way and comes back in this way. Never drives out, for whatever reason, this way. Never drove by it. Never saw it. We're like right here. So get lost. You'll find a road less travel will give you more inspiration and people watch. Do something different. Join a club. Don't go clubbing. Well, go clubbing, fine. But, you know, don't go crazy, ladies. Because you'll meet new people. Like, you're around churchy people all the time. You're just going to have your churchy stories. Go to a club. You'll meet some really interesting people. Take a walk. Don't always drive someplace. Take a walk. Go somewhere. Join a charity. Be involved in a group outside of yourself. Try different food. Don't just eat at the same places. Whatever restaurant you share with your friend, tell your friend to go there. Now you go find someplace else. If you never tried Thai, go try Thai. If you've never had Somalian food, go try Somalian food. Do something different. Get your taste buds and your smell buds and your ear buds and every bud of you tasting and experiencing something new in this world, so you have more ways to experience this world in a sensory realm. Drive somewhere. Go somewhere. Go to a library. There's a lot of people in a library. You can do a whole heck of a lot of people watching in libraries. Mm-hmm. It's very interesting. Go to the theater. Go to fancy schmancy big theater and go to local little community theater and then support aspiring actors and have fun with that. Go back. Go back home. Go to your home neighborhood and visit your school where you grew up, your neighborhood where you grew up, maybe a church that you visited. So give yourself the where that gives you those experiences that helps you to, again, find your voice, find who you are, find who you're writing for, because you're opening yourself up to more experiences. And by doing that, you will avoid this scenario where you have nothing to write and you feel like. Now, we've all probably experienced that to some degree. If you've ever tried to write and given yourself either a self-imposed deadline, like I do a lot, or you have to write because it's your job. And so you'll find yourself in this moment. So the write short go will help avoid this, and the write long go and do it, facing the page, be disciplined, get accountable, all those things I shared, see and be in the moment will help you not be stuck, on this. And so we are going to see and be in this moment right here, because this is where we're at. I'm not going to have you imagine a moment out there. I'm going to have you see this moment and be in this moment right now. And so with your pen and paper in hand and ready to go, I'm going to just give you some quiet time to look around this space, think about the people that are in this room, and do your best to be in this room with these people in this moment with what we're all experiencing right now. Observe something in here. Maybe nobody else is observing yet. Move into what you're hearing, what you're seeing, what you're smelling, what you've tasted, what you've experienced emotionally. We're going to talk about that even more in just a minute. But I want you to be in this moment and feel how it feels when your mind pulls you outside of this moment, and identify it and then bring yourself back in. Try to notice it and bring yourself back in. Kind of like when you're disciplining a child and you notice a child is constantly going over here into the cookie jar, let's say, whatever, and you're like, oh, because the cookie jar is super accessible. Let's not make that so accessible. Let's change how the child perceives that. We don't drop kick the child when they go into the moment, but we just readjust things. So don't drop kick yourself and beat yourself up if you have a difficult time with this. But I'm going to see the moment. So visually take this room in, and I want you to be in this moment, and then either in words, phrases, full sentences, however it comes to you, I want you to be observant and record what you're experiencing in this moment, at this workshop, and in this physical space with these humans around you. Are you ready? Go. All right, about 15 seconds. All right. How was that experience for you? Was it, did you find your mind wandering? Were you able to stay here? Or did your mind move you elsewhere? Someone want to just share, don't share your words necessarily, just I want to hear from the experience point of view.
Well, I was feeling, actually I was in my mind talking to myself about the bathroom experience. And when I was looking at the bathroom experience of how beautiful it is and redecorated, then my mind wanted to go to the home improvement shows that I like to watch. And I had to come back real quick.
Come back.
Yeah, because I was starting to lose my train of feelings.
Here. Yeah, good. Anyone else want to share? Okay.
I don't have much of a visual, but I just see a lovely group of women joining together, experiencing the morning with a great teacher to help us see ourselves and others differently and learn to write.
Nice, very sweet, and thank you for that. And you are a lovely group of women. Very good.
You were kind.
So this is another exercise that you can give yourself. This is another exercise that you can give yourself in your mind to help you hone your writing skills, is the C and B moment, wherever you are. And this is something, again, why you want to keep a journal with you, because you have C and B moments all the time. You're going to be in church before the sermon gets started, before worship kicks off or whatever, and you're just waiting. Grab your journal. Put the moment. Hone in on one person. Hone in on one emotion. Hone in on one aspect of the room. And move into that moment. This is just a part of training your mind and your fingers and your voice and your heart to get words out. And this will translate when you go to write other things. So this is part of that, the drill in a sense, the things that we practice to help us become better writers. So this visual image here, whether you've experienced writer's block or not, And some writers who write a lot never experience it. I was listening to one of my favorite podcasters today, and she was interviewing someone who writes, and he says, yeah, he's just never experienced writer's block. Wow, I have. And it's just, it's not fun, and you're just like, how do I even move forward from this? So I'm going to give you some ideas on that, because whether you experience it or not yourself, or have, maybe you can help somebody else. But this is a way to help you avoid writer's block, but it's also a way to help you as a writer. And in terms of the topics that you're going to want to share, what you're going to do is you're going to start a 100 words list. And I'm going to give you some time to start that right now. You're not going to have time to finish 100 words. But on a 100 words list, you literally number your paper 1 to 100. And I'm going to give you free writing right now. I'm going to have you write as much as you can in the time that I'm going to give you. To write anything that comes into your brain. This could be childhood experiences, it could be an idea, it could be a concept, it could be just a word, a color, anything. So as you're writing, I'll give you that time, but I'm going to prompt you with a couple of categories, and then, again, take it or leave it. If that category helps, move into that and write on that. If it doesn't help, just ignore, and I'll pause for some silence, and then I'll give you some more categories.
So literally just single words.
Literally a single word. Some people like to write a two-word phrase, like home church, maybe. So rather than just church, you would write home church. Try to not write unnecessary words. Like instead of saying my dad, you could just assume it's dad, unless you really do want to differentiate between my dad and my mom's dad or somebody like that. So just things like that. So I'm going to give you time, and then you're going to write. I'm going to give you a little bit of prompts to hover in the room and let you absorb those if you want, or just ignore them.
So any words you want.
Any words you want. So 1 to 100, number it if you want to or don't. That doesn't matter either.
Names, people, places.
Anything. Yep, names, people, places. All right, here we go. 100 words. Ready, go. Childhood experience. Pet peeves. A favorite person. Vacation. Vacation. Fears. All right, about 15 seconds. All right, go ahead, and I'm just going to give you a few seconds to share with your group just any words you want to, just to share, and that might inspire somebody else to write a word down. Go ahead and share. All right. Wrap up your sharing with your group. Lots of good words swirling around in the room here. I love it. All right, and I'll draw your attention back up here to the screen. So this is a starting point, getting 100 words written. Use this as a list. Keep it with you. Transfer it onto Evernote or into an index card. Fold it up, stick it in your wallet, whatever. Keep it with you, and when you want to do a write short go, or if you want to do a long, there's a starting point and list. And keep on adding that to your list. Let people and places and experiences inspire you and get things on that list. This will become a wealth. This will be the Denver Mint source for you in terms of writing and bringing things out. Every experience that you have will add to that. Every emotion you experience will add to that. And every word on that list will help anchor that somewhere. So I encourage you to keep that with you and keep adding that and transfer it at some point to another paper that helps you to carry it along with you. So moving forward in our W's of writing, the what of writing, this is going to go quickly because I just want you to think through, well, what are you going to be writing? Are you writing a blog? Are you writing something larger, like a memoir maybe? And even larger than that would be an autobiography. But a memoir is an aspect of your life that you're going to put into a book, long or short. An autobiography is more the totality of your life. And maybe you're getting ready to share and verbally just bring your experience to people. You want to write it out first. You're going to deliver it in a speech or a talk. One of the things that we provide opportunity for women to do in this church is what we call coffee talk, where women stand and share their story. And we've done it for the last couple of summers. And so I meet with the women and, you know, move, help them move through their talk, help them experience that, and help them prepare their words on that so that we can come together and share them with each other. And so actually this workshop was born out of people coming to me saying, I want to share my story. I'm not sure how. Mm-hmm. And so I said, oh, sure, we'll get down. We'll talk about it. And then someone else came up to me and asked me the same thing. And then somebody else came up to me and asked the same thing. I'm like, I guess we'll just do this at a public venue. So that's where this all came from, was people coming and saying, I've heard your story and I want to share mine, and how did you do that, and how can I do it? And so that's what I that's why this workshop came about. So I don't know what your reason is. So go ahead and just drop that down to yourself. Why are you here? What are you going to move forward into? What is this going to do? So just jot that down real quick. It might be as easy as writing the word blog. I want to write a blog, a speech, a talk, a share, or maybe it's just you benefiting from pulling your thoughts together and having them not just be a swirling mess in your brain, but kind of giving them a little more structure inside of your head. One of my favorite writers is Anne Lamott. If you are not familiar with her writing, I would say go and get her writing right away. She wrote a book called Bird by Bird, Some Instructions on Writing and Life, and a fabulous book. Great instruction. She's raw and real, and she loves Jesus. And so she has a really interesting take on life and how she shares her story in a fabulous writing style. Just completely amazingly engaging, funny, self-deprecating, and just cute. And you just want to, everyone feels like they're her best friend after you finish reading her stuff. She's great. She wrote, one of the gifts of being a writer is that it gives you an excuse to do things, to go places and explore. Another is that writing motivates you to look closely at your life, at life as it lurches by and tramps around. So this again goes back to why I ask you to do your long and short writing, to go, experience, be in the moment, and be and have experiences outside of yourself, outside of your comfort zone, I should say, as well. So again, slides will be available if you didn't get the chance to write down her name or book. Again, Anne Lamott, Bird by Bird. Google it. Get it on Amazon. Some drone will deliver it to your house before you even get home. If you do it before noon, you could probably get it same day delivery. Here we go. So now we're going to move forward to, we've done the macro outside of the writing basics. This is your why. This is your how you're going to approach everything in a big sense. And then we're just going to move into some technical stuff. And I'm going to give you some tips to hang your hat on and to help you fine-tune your writing craft. We'll talk a little bit about that. So we've been talking about the W's. Well, these W's work inside writing as well. It helps with flow. If you are identifying while you're writing who was important in this incident, what happened there, when did it happen, where did it happen, and why did it happen? If you start writing, a great way to block out and outline what you're going to say and write is to literally make a column, who, what, when, where, and why, and just start filling in the blanks on that column. It just gives you a scaffolding to start. And give yourself a page for each, give yourself a column for each, but address each of these. And then not every one of these is going to necessarily need to come up, but at least you went there in the process of pulling your thoughts together for whatever it is you're writing or saying. So easy thing to do on this. The next one is you're gonna want to show and not tell. You'll start seeing this in your writing more if you fall prey to some of these typical things that happen, like avoiding using there was, there were, there is, or there are. Instead, say instead of there were dogs barking at the cat, say dogs barked at the cats. It's an economy of words. So reread your writing and work on the technical part of writing by editing those types of things. This is not during your short go or long go. This is later when you're actually really moving it in. Edit then. But when you're just writing, just get it out there. In under the category also of show and not tell, avoid using words that end in ly. These are adverbs that you learned when you were in fifth grade. You're not in fifth grade anymore, so stop describing everything with an ly word. Are there times we're going to use them? Yes, but instead of saying silently, Lotus walked into the kitchen, just write Lotus sneaked into the kitchen without a sound. It's way better, way more visual, and you don't sound like you're 10 years old anymore. So we all learned what adverbs were, but overuse of them makes your writing sound, the word is pedantic. which is where we get our word pedestrian. It means walking along and making your reader kind of walk slowly with you. It feels dry. So again, technical stuff, this is you improving your grammar, improving your word choice, and improving how you write on paper. Sydney Sheldon gave this quote, which I have a typo on, but it says, "A blank piece of paper is God's way of telling us how hard it is to be God, how hard it is to be God, and how hard it is to actually write something that doesn't have errors in it." So this is a great reminder to us that you're not God. And writing will remind you of that. Like, God created what we call in Latin ex nihilo, which means out of nothing. God created ex nihilo, right? You're not doing that. You have something when you're writing. You actually have a pen in your hand. You have paper. You didn't make that. And every experience that you're getting on that paper is rooted in something else. So this reminds us to be humble and keep our place with the Lord and just turn to Him and just say, "All right, I need you to help me in this." Continuing on with our show don't tell focus here, you're not writing a script, so don't give backstage instructions. Instead of saying, "He walked 3 steps into the room, pushed open the door, walked into his chair, sitting on the bed to read the newspaper," just say, "He entered the room, picked up the newspaper." Everyone else can fill in the blanks for that. Now, there's a place in interesting writing to make it, you're deliberately using that technique, but for the most part, that gets a little old after a while. So watch your writing and make sure you're not over-explaining things and just keep it simple. Again, economy of words on that. In terms of show, don't tell, a simple way to do that is going back to kindergarten and making a Thanksgiving turkey. Who remembers those? Put your hand on a piece of paper, draw it, and you get a little turkey. So find a blank sheet of paper, enough room to fit your whole hand on it. I'm going to show you what I mean by that. You're like, "How do Thanksgiving turkeys have to do with this writing workshop?" Hang on, I'll tell you. So get a blank sheet of paper and trace your hand on that paper. Go ahead. I think there's more on the back table if you need it. All right, trace your hand. I'm going to give you this as a visual. This will probably be self-evident after we get done. But on each one of your fingers, I want you to write a word. The first finger you choose, it doesn't matter what order, is the word C. And then here, taste, touch, smell. You should have all 5 fingers with something written on them, yes? In the middle of your palm of your hand, you're going to write a heart that's large enough to fit a word. And the word is feel, F-E-E-L, feel. Write a heart on the palm of your hand, and in the middle of your heart, write the word feel. And this is emotional. Notice I use see, hear, taste, touch, and smell, and then feel for the emotional part of it, even though touch and feel can be kind of synonyms in a sense. All right, feel emotionally. Emotionally, feeling something will move us forward into what we've decided, what action we've taken, or inaction, and what impact that had on us. That's our feelings. And there's a lot, obviously, more involved in that. All right, so while you're writing, have you included words that are sensory in nature? Now, you can get a little crazy with this and over-describe everything. Make sure you include the smell of something and what you heard while you were there. But I want you to think about the fact that if you go to the movies today, what senses are you exposed to in a theater when you're at a movie watching? You're seeing stuff and you're hearing stuff. Yeah, but from the screen, from the movie that you're experiencing, you're seeing it and you're hearing it. You're smelling the popcorn, but that's because you're in the theater. But in life, in real life, as you move through life, we're experiencing everything that's on the list. But mostly we're exposed to movies, so that's where we orient what we share. So move into some of these other words as appropriate in your writing to really help engage your reader. C.S. Lewis said it in a great way. He's one of my favorite writers. He wrote on writing. I think it's called Letters on Writing or something like that. But he wrote, instead of telling us the thing is terrible, describe it so we will be terrified. And then he says, don't say it was delightful. Make us say delightful when we've read the description. And then he writes, all those words, horrifying, wonderful, hideous, exquisite, are only like saying to your readers, please, will you do my job for me? So don't just write the word, write the, help people feel the experience. Okay, so that's another great way. Anton Chekhov said it this way, don't tell me the moon is shining, show me on the glint of light on broken glass. All right, so show, don't tell. And use that as you move into your writing. As you're trying to craft your words, ask that simple question. How have I done on this idea of showing versus telling? So let's go ahead and practice that right now. I'm going to give you a phrase, and I'm going to ask that you work through. You can use your senses. You can use what I've given you on your paper in terms of the who, what, when, where, and why. You can, like I said, use your five senses. But I'm going to give you a phrase, and then I'm going to ask you to write about that in a way to the best as you can right now. And this is going to be a really short exercise. See if you can try to describe it without saying, like, don't tell me about this podium being brown necessarily. Let me experience this podium. I'm not going to give you the word podium. You're welcome. But whatever, when I say my phrase, I want you to just try to think about, don't pinpoint that moment. I want you to think around the moment of the phrase I'm going to give you. And I want you to come out and around that moment and engage with it in a different way. What'll happen is you'll feel like you need to, and you do to a certain degree, do your five senses around it. That's fine. But when you go to pull those together now to share your thoughts on it, you're going to want to experience it through your five senses, but don't tell me what to experience by saying, it smelled like this, it looked like that. So I'll say that, number one. Number two, if that's all you can do right now, because that's just where you're at in your writing, awesome. This is a benchmark day. This is for you to have a starting point. And so just do and write what you can write, and don't hear my voice editing in your head. Like, don't write that. Don't say it like that. Don't take it like that at all. Just write what you can write. But you're going to move toward the goal of what C.S. Lewis said, what Anton Chekhov said. Don't tell me the moon is shining. Show me the glint of light on broken glass. So I want you to experience how hard or easy or natural or unnatural that is for you in this moment, okay? I'm going to give you a phrase, and then I'm just going to have you write about that phrase, okay? So your phrase is, my favorite Christmas, my favorite Christmas. All right, about 15 seconds. Okay, I'll finish up the last word or phrase, your last jots and tittles there. How easy or difficult was that for you? Just share real quick, the whole group. Anyone?
Easy.
Easy? It flowed for you? Found it to flow? Okay. I probably should have said a memorable Christmas. I realized after I said favorite, like, I meant to say memorable, but I didn't want to go back and confuse your brain. Because I don't need you to pick your favorite, because favorites tend to be positive, and I needed it to be more neutral in your mind. So I should have said memorable, because it might have been a bad Christmas too, and you need to be able to write about both a bad one or a good one, because that could be just the biggest draw emotionally. So if me saying favorite made it harder, sorry, I meant to say memorable. Anyway. Point being, use your words carefully when you speak to yourself as well. When you say, I'm going to think about my favorite, whatever, maybe say memorable, whatever, because that gives you both ends to go to. Okay. How many of you find out pretty easy, flowed fairly well? Okay. How many of you found that a little more challenging, a little more difficult? Maybe went? Okay. Yeah. There's a variety of reasons why Christmas might not just be a very interesting topic to you, or you had nothing associated, or you're just not there with your writing and words aren't coming, or you're just tired and you want to go home. So whatever the reasons are, there's always a reason. So with that in mind, as we move into our writing, I want to give you a couple of reminders. Number one, be good to yourself. Be good to yourself. Because you're never going to be as good, as ready, as smart, as interesting, as connected, or healed, or articulate as you think you should be. All right? A guiding principle on this is talk to yourself the way you would talk to your friend. Talk to yourself the way you would talk to a friend. We're so unkind to ourselves. We apply 1 Corinthians 13 to everybody else but our own selves. So be kind, be patient, keep no record of wrong. Don't envy, right? Love yourself. Apply 1 Corinthians 13 to yourself, all right? As a writer, you need that. You need that grace and that patience with yourself. If you're writing and you hate it, that's okay. I don't like everything I wrote either. Probably people who read it, the stuff that I like, they don't like it either, so that's okay. But I'm not a bad writer or a bad person. I just didn't write that very well, and I can try again, and I didn't go into it deep enough, or I went in too deep, and now I'm boring everybody, whatever it is. You'll get better. So be gracious with yourself. Next, read. Read. This will be important as you really, truly embrace your skill, because reading will open up better worlds for you. Read the classics. Choose 2 or 3 a year, whatever your reading pace can be. But read a classic a year at least. One of my favorites is called East of Eden by John Steinbeck, and I would really recommend that one. It's set in California. It's not Christian. It'll open your mind to a whole other world. It's super readable and dramatic and long and scoping and family relationships. It's awesome. And Steinbeck has this amazing way to bring words together and phrasings that you would never have thought of, and he's amazing. So I recommend East of Eden. There's a lot of them out there. I mean, I could... It's like picking a favorite child. Go on Google it, just 100 books to read before you die type of thing. Like, go to that list and just knock it out and try to get that. Then also do some up-and-coming books. Read a new author. Read somebody who's crazy out there and just barely got noticed. I read The Devil Wears Prada before the movie came out. Found it on some list, whatever. I'm like, that looks cool. Her startup novel, first novel she reads, boom, nails it, and it becomes a movie. And Devil Wears Prada, if you've seen the movie, is great. But the book is amazing. Very a lot of cuss words in it, but other than that, it's really amazing. I always have to say that to Christian women who are like, "Oh, I mean, Jennifer, make all those cuss words." Yes, I did. I'm not a cussy McCussy face person, but I do read real works by real people, and they're not all Christian. Read stuff that's in the genre that you plan to write in. If you're going to be blogging, read other people's blogs. If you want to write a memoir, read other people's memoirs. Read in your genre. Read something new. Read something new. Read something completely out of your genre, something you would never even be interested in reading, to force yourself to get other people's perspectives. If you're not into science fiction, ask somebody else who isn't, but find the book that they read that was science fiction that they actually liked. If you're not into romance, ask somebody to recommend a romance you can potentially deal with that isn't just, you know, 50 Shades of Nasty. So just read good stuff and outside of your genre. Reading and reduces your stress, and it will increase your vocabulary. Words like catharsis will come up as you read. And you'll be like, what does that even mean? And you'll look it up. It'll increase your vocabulary. It'll increase your worldview exposure. And it will help you with your style. It will help you with phrasing. I keep post-it notes inside the books that I read. And I write out great phrases that authors use. And because I just am it's called a logophile or a word lover. Read. This will be helpful for you. And then follow good writers on Twitter. If you don't already use Twitter, you don't have to post anything on Twitter, but follow good people and follow good writers. And you don't have to follow people that you actually like their writing or would read their writing, but as an author, they're very interesting. And J.K. Rowling is one of them. I'm not really into the Harry Potter stuff. Don't have really strong spiritual reasons for not. It's just not my genre. I'm not into it. Give me some good C.S. Lewis. I'll read all of his stuff every day, or Tolkien or whatever. But anyway, but she's fascinating to follow on Twitter. So follow her on Twitter. And she wrote this: when rereading last week's work, the trick is to stop for a biscuit just before your blood sugar levels drop to every single word of this is worthless. So this affirms what I was saying before. Be good to yourself. Don't judge your reading when your blood sugar is bad. But she writes great stuff, and then she really actively engages with her followers. I just really enjoy her. There's other great authors you can find. And you can actually even Google this. Authors to follow on Twitter. Like, just Google that and you'll come up with stuff.
Google everything.
You can Google everything. Absolutely. So be good to yourself. Read and write. Just do it. Right? Set a goal and give your goal a time frame. It could be a goal that you set for this week. It could be a longer one, like by the end of this year, I'm going to whatever. And it could be for today. So give some time frames to some of your goals. And then connect today. Find a writing partner. Find somebody that you're like, oh my gosh, I'm inspired. I'm ready to go. I don't know how, but find a writing partner and connect. And maybe it's in this room that you found someone that you can connect with, or maybe you're going to share this workshop with somebody else, have them listen to it, and connect somehow with somebody else. There's online groups that you can connect with as well. And then here's some resources for you. I'll leave this up for a while, but so you can jot them all down. But again, I'm going to send you this entire file, so you don't go crazy. one of them is called Daily Writing Tips. Pretty self-explanatory. Gives you writing tips every day. Another two are going to be apps that you're going to load onto your computer that will help you edit your work for you and catch errors that you didn't even know existed, like Oxford commas or when to capitalize, when to put quotes, when not to. It moves a little bit further than what Word will provide for you in spell check and grammar check. Grammarly is closer to the Word, what it provides, but what's nice about Grammarly, it's cross-platform. You can install it on your Chrome extension, and you'll be able to use it on any website. And if you're writing a blog, or even if you're writing a Facebook post, it'll edit it. It'll help you edit it. It's super, super, super cool. The Hemingway app is great also. Same thing. You're going to download it. You get it on your computer. It'll help you not only better than the Word, because it doesn't just check for spelling. It actually checks for syntax. If you're getting a wordy, it'll just say, hey, you're getting wordy. And like, here's the entire phrase. You need to chop this into a couple sentences. Really good. Really helpful. You're going to pay for the premium on this, but it's worth it if you're going to write. Invest time and money and make it a priority and put some money into that. I am not paid to promote Grammarly or Hemingway, but I wish I was. I get a lot of people going to Grammarly and Hemingway. The next one is a podcaster I just recently found. Her name is Sarah Werner. Super delightful, easy to listen to. I recommend listening to her podcast, following her blog, and she has a Facebook group. And if you're on Facebook, you can join her group. And I'm in the group, and we can see each other in there and talk and ask questions, and she posts different ways. So I just recently found her and just recently even joined the, even more recently, joined her Facebook group. And then the next one is ChristianWritingToday.com, and that's just great for us Christian women to help you in that regard. Lots of stuff there. And this quote by Ernest Hemingway was fun to me, and hopefully it'll resonate with you as well. It's none of their business that you have to learn to write. Let them think you were born that way. That's from Ernest Hemingway. And so if you've ever read his stuff, you remember that even Ernest Hemingway had to learn to write. And this goes back to the original quote there on from Donald Murray about the steps and skill and the process that it takes to be a good writer. And then finally, of course, everything is all encompassed, because what are we called to do as women? We are called to bring glory to God. And so if your writing helps you connect spiritually with the Lord, with one another, that's great. But if it doesn't point everyone ultimately to God and to the saving relationship that they can have and how God redeems every corner of our life. And the reason why I have a story is because of God's grace and His mercy and His provision and His love in my life. That's what we're here for. Of course, that's been the whole point of this, that it's your story, but it's for God's glory is why we're here. So I'd like to close right now. We have 7 minutes before we wrap up. And I'd like to give you the opportunity to do a little Q&A. And I'm going to leave the recording going on this. In order for us to make this beneficial, if you have a question, I want to hear it. But let's go ahead and make sure that we stay in this room, be in this moment. Don't leave. You signed up to be here till 11:30. So I got 7 more minutes with you. 6 now. And so be in the moment. Hey, well, let's go do some Q&A. And anything that you have, comment, something you want to share, I'll take questions right now. What do you think? Yes, Tony.
I was writing poetry. It was like maybe 5th or 6th grade. Mm-hmm. I have like over 100 poems. Mm-hmm. I've always at some point in time wanted to get them published, and I've written a couple short stories. What are the best publishers to submit your work to, or Not necessarily for pay, but mm-hmm. you know, just to get it out there.
Yeah. A couple things you can do on that. Google that. What are the best publishers? Literally Google that. I'm a poet. How do I get my poems published?
But you published, so what right. publishers did you use?
So well, I published in a different genre. So I didn't publish for memoir writing. I published for educational writing for teachers. So it's a completely different genre. Two places to start. One is called createspace.com. That's Amazon's publishing, self-publishing house. And you could write a book and publish it tomorrow, literally. You can take all the poems that you've ever written, put them in a book, and follow their directions, and self-publish it, and it will be available to the masses on Amazon. Mm. And we will all say, I knew her when, right?
Wow.
Joan Foster, right? And so you can do that right away. That's called createspace.com. That's your Amazon. And other than that, for publishers, it depends on your genre. If you want to actually get published in a book, the main way people are getting published right now is starting a blog that gets a lot of followers. Mm-hmm. And so you are going to want to follow other bloggers, find out what they're doing, what you like, how they're doing it, and then follow bloggers who offer workshops on how to get more followers on their blog and how they got published. My girlfriend, her name is Casey Pratt, K-A-Y-S-E. P-R-A-T-T, Pratt. I'll give that to you later if you didn't catch that. But she writes a blog at Intentional Moms, and she's fabulous and great for your demographic in particular. But she started, right? But she started, I've known her for 15 years or so anyway. We talked together, and she got married. I've been, you know, friends with her all through this journey. And then she just started writing, putting on a blog. And it really resonated with women. She ended up with a ton of followers and caught the attention of a publisher. Mm-hmm. And so you get publishing gigs if you have a huge blog. And we're talking big, like it has to be. Don't even talk to a publisher until you have 40,000 minimum followers on your blog. Mm-hmm. And anyway, that's a whole other category. I don't do that. As I explained in the beginning, I'm not big and fancy. I don't have a million followers. I barely have 200 followers. Like, I'm just me. But what I do well is teach. And as they say, if you can't do, teach. So so I do what I do, and then I teach. And it help hopefully provide resources for you. So
a blog Google. Is obviously on the computer, which I don't do. But a blog is something that you have a particular interest in, mm-hmm. just a mm-hmm. particular subject.
It can be. My blog is pretty diverse right now because I just haven't decided to tighten it up. So I write about a lot of things. I post recipes, for example, and then I kind of story out the recipe a little bit. And or I'll write a devotional, or I'll write just a knucklehead life experience, or I'll write a really significant life scary time or whatever, and I'll post that. So my blog is pretty broad. Some people's blogs are super focused, and then other people have like multiple blogs because they realize they have multiple areas of interest, so they categorize their blogs out there on that. My blog will eventually get moved. It's right now housed on Blogspot. It's going to get moved. I'm getting closer to that. And then it'll still be multiple, but then people will be able to pick which area of interest they want to go. Right now it's just a stream of all sorts of different things that I write about. Question?
I'm a survivor of the largest mass shooting in modern day history, and I'd like to write something to leave to my children of my experience through it and coming out of it. Not to have the world to see, but something that has my pictures and my journey through all of this.
Yeah.
And so what would be the best way to do that? In a book form,
mm-hmm.
not like Shutterfly or,
right.
you know, like something yeah. where I'm actually writing my story with pictures and stuff.
Yeah. A Create Space will give you an opportunity to self-publish, and you can have pictures in there.
Okay.
It's not just words, so you can use the Create Space website. Again, that's platform through Amazon, and it allows you to self-publish, and they'll walk you through the whole process on it. It's pretty self-explanatory as you go in doing that. And then definitely use blogging to do that, because you can put pictures in your blog and make each, you know, each blog entry could be a picture and then your story, and then the next blog entry a picture and your story, and it can be woven through. So I recommend when people start a blog is to get content ready, and because people want to see blog writers and they want to engage with you. And so
it isn't for me mm-hmm. to share with the world.
Okay.
I'm just wanting to leave something behind for my children.
For you, yeah.
To have.
I would do Create Space.
Okay.
That would be a great venue. Because then you don't have to make it public. or you could.
Yeah.
It's just out there.
Okay.
And you could just make it for yourself, and it'll come in book form. And you have, cool. Yeah, very cool. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you'll be able to do that. Any other questions?
So, you know, I shared my story in the summer
yeah.
at Coffee Talk. So, like, I have it written out, so, like, and share it. So now where do I go?
Yeah. I would put it in a blog. I would start a blog on it, and I would even take your story as in that and move, open it out, and really be able to embrace every aspect of that more.
So, like, expand on mm-hmm. all the different, because obviously I just had 20-30 minutes
right,
or whatever and
right.
kind of like went through several years
yeah.
in 20 minutes.
Yeah, so. You've got a really good, basically an outline in a sense, and then I would go back through and just say, okay, what do I need to move into in this aspect of the story? What do I need to move into and open up in this aspect and so on? And that will give you that starting point, and then I would say we'll continue with your mom experience and a wife of a pastor and all the different things that you're experiencing. I would do that, and I would start it as a blog.
And so break up what I've already written into different blogs?
Yeah. Start your blog, and then each what you've been through will be a post on your blog as you go through. Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. Yep. Any other questions?
Where do you go to create a blog?
Excuse me?
Where do you go to create a blog?
To create a blog? A pretty easy one is just through Blogger, and it's on Google's platform. It's free, super easy. If you have a Gmail account, which I recommend, by the way, get Gmail. If you're still using AOL or Juno or some of these other ones, like, don't use those anymore. You need to get off that. Hello, it's the 21st century. So, sorry if you were using those and you got your feelings hurt on that, but I'm just telling you the truth. If you want to be... What do you got?
I do have my AOL account, but anything I buy,
yeah.
I use it as my garbage one.
Yes, it's the garbage one. I have a garbage one as well.
I get all the junk mail.
Yeah, absolutely. Use AOL, garbage. Juno, all those, because it's ad-based and people get spammed on them all the time. Anyway, use Gmail to start, and then what you're going to end up doing is you're going to get your own URL. You're going to get your own website. So I own jennifergrichmond.com and every other iteration of that, jenniferrichmond.com.org.net.
You have to pay for that?
Yes, that you do have to pay for. When you're ready to move into that, but one of the things you can do right now is just secure your name right now. Get it. Buy it. Secure it. Somebody else won't take it eventually, so get it. And then eventually what you'll be able to do is people won't send email to jennifer@gmail.com. They'll send email to hello@jenniferrichmond.com. So it's way more professional to have that. But that's down the line. For starters, start with Gmail, because Gmail is just, it's so connected and so easy to use, and it's free, and you can get a blog right there in your Gmail. You just hit the button up at the top, little squares that are up there, hit that button, it'll open it up, you'll see Blogger, click Blogger, it'll say, do you want to start a blog? You'll say, yes, I do. Click, just walk you through the whole process. So easy. That's a whole, again, a complete other workshop. And I, in the works is another workshop on social media and how to engage and branding and how to set up your branding and things like that. I've run several different online businesses and different things and worked through branding and how to do that. And so you can learn from all my mistakes. and I teach a workshop called Social Media Savvy. And another place you can connect with me is on YouTube, Jennifer Richmond on YouTube. And then I have a Vimeo channel. Vimeo is... like a more grown-up version of YouTube in a sense. It's a little cleaner. It doesn't give you as much of stuff as YouTube does in the sense of advertising and things. So I have a Vimeo channel called Wellness Mindset, and you go there and you can see more of my professional stuff. But in there under my videos is one called Social Media Savvy. So if you're really interested and you just want to jump ahead, watch that one. It's already there, and you can kind of just get information on how to do social media, brand yourself, and get it out there. It's important that you get your own website right away, like buy it, even if you're not going to do anything with it. I bought mine like 10 years ago. Just own it and get it now, because someone's going to get your name, and then you'll have to figure out. Excuse me?
How much does that cost?
I think $10.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, it's not a lot. You do get your name secure, and then if you do something with it, it's cost you more. But for now, just buy your name. Okay. Any other questions? Thank you all for coming today. I'm glad that you could be here. I hope you enjoyed yourself. and learn something. Good. All right.